So as we've seen, Paul's known for many things, and Paul can quite often be seen as a controversial figure, because most people will know about Paul from the letters he wrote to the churches and some of the things that are said in those letters. But there are lots of lessons for us from the life of Paul. So first of all, Paul wasn't always a Christian. Paul wasn't always Paul. He started off wanting to destroy Christianity. He was a head Pharisee. He was a very significant, important person. He was a very educated person. And his mission in life was to destroy the church. And he would go around and throwing Christians into jail. And he was well known. So we see when he's converted, Ananias is really afraid to go to Saul because he knows what Saul is coming to do. He knows what Saul's job is. When he first preaches, the Christians there are a bit skeptical. This is the man who's been throwing everyone in jail. You know, how on earth? What has happened? Something really odd and strange and not normal has happened. And that's what it's like for everyone when we become a Christian. We might not all have such a strange and unusual conversion experience. Our conversion stories may be very boring by comparison. Not many of us, I guess, have seen a big bright light and been blinded, etc. But it's actually about how we respond to God's call. So Saul, when he sees the blinding light, he does what God says. And again, when he's in Macedonia, about Macedonia, he listens to what God says about where to go. And goes to Macedonia, and as the group said, Lydia was converted, established the church there. So it's not enough just to become a Christian and kind of sit back and that's it, all done. I'm all right now. It's actually about continuing to listen to God, to following where God says to go, what God says to do. It's an active, ongoing following. And because of what Paul did and following God's lead, that led him to be able to have the kinds of conversations that Margaret was talking about at New Day, about having those conversations with people about this is the gospel. He was always following where God said to where non-Christians were. So quite often when he got to a town, he'd go to the synagogue, he'd go to the marketplace, he'd go to where he knew non-Christians would be. And so it's not just about us talking to God, it's also about us listening to what God says in return. Now, Paul's probably best known as an evangelist. So when we did our What Do We Know About Paul Just Ourselves, the kinds of words that came up there were missionary, evangelist, strong. So people know Paul as the man who would go and take the gospel to the Gentile world, to non-Jewish people. As we saw in Jerusalem, in Philippi when he was in jail, in Athens with the people who were worshipping these stone statues, the gospel is effective. So in all three cases, just by talking about the gospel, God was able to work through that and people became Christians. So we don't need to dress it up in lots of fancy ways. We don't need to think, oh, what kind of illustrations do we need to use or not? Paul just spoke the gospel. That's all he did. As I said before, critically, he goes to where he knows non-Christians will be. It can be quite easy for us to kind of stay in a little Christian bubble, that we've got church on Sunday and we might have a midweek group and we have our other church friends as well, our other Christian friends. And we never, you know, we like them. And we can talk about Christian things together, and that's really good. But it's not good if that's all we do. So when Paul followed where Jesus said, it was to take the gospel to non-Christians. It was to go out in very public places, in very public ways. And he suffered as a result. Now again, we might not get thrown in jail. We might not be put in chains. We might not have groups of people trying to stone us to death. We might not have to be lowered over a city wall in a basket. But actually, we may be even more scared of what our friends think. There's nothing more scary than derision of people, contempt, of not being included in invites to things, of not being the person that everybody talks to at work or at school or wherever we are. Paul was quite prepared to literally die for the gospel. We might not face that same physical threat, but we must be prepared to give up everything, including our dignity, our pride, the way that we want ourselves to be seen by others. We have to give that up for the sake of the gospel. We have to be prepared to lose that, because the gospel is so much bigger and so much better. But Paul wasn't just an evangelist. All those letters he wrote to encourage churches, to encourage them to keep running the Christian race, to keep going to the end. So when he was with the elders of the church of Ephesus, he'd spent 3 years with them, longer than he spent anywhere else with a new church. He spent 3 years of his life preaching the gospel, establishing that church, training the elders. And here he is on the beach, and it says at the end of the passage, they knew that they would never see him again. And what he wants to do is to encourage them to stand firm in their faith, encourage them to keep on fighting the fight, not to give in, not to give up. And that's our job as well. That's why we're here. You know, part of coming to church is to encourage each other. It's to talk about the things that we find challenging. You read through Paul's letters and he's addressing certain situations because he knew about those situations. He wanted to help. He wanted to help those Christians know what to do, how to respond. And that's what we should be doing Sunday by Sunday. It's what we should be doing day by day. We should be encouraging each other. We should be sharing the things we find difficult, sharing the things we struggle with. The Christian life isn't all lovely and everything goes brilliantly well and we will never have a problem again. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says there will be suffering. There will be things we struggle with. There will be things we don't know what to do and how to solve on our own. But that's why God puts us with other Christians. That's why we're here as part of the family of God. And even when, as one of the groups had, Paul and Barnabas had a falling out over whether or not to take John Mark with them, because he'd let them down before. At the end of Colossians, Paul says, he's a really valuable member of my team. Paul worked with him. Paul encouraged him. And he went from somebody who dropped out to somebody who stood up. And that's what we can do with each other. We can encourage each other on. So to follow Paul's example, we need to be people who listen to what God says all the time, actively listening, ongoing listening, ongoing following what God says, doing what God says, taking the gospel out, going to where we know non-Christians are, and not caring about anything other than getting the gospel out, and encouraging each other, sharing with each other, telling each other about the bad bits as much, if not more, as the good bits. Yes, it's great to encourage ourselves with the good things God has done to us, but we can need the encouragement in the hard times as well. And if we don't share, we won't know, and we can't do that. So these are the things that we can do following Paul's example.